Hello. Today's scripture is Genesis 45, 4 to 10. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one who you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me before of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who had sent me, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back into my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children, your grandchildren, and your flocks and herds, and all you have.' This is the word of God."
So, it's my first sermon, so I'm a little on edge today. Yeah, thank you. All right. So a couple months ago, during a Sunday school with the youth, I asked them this kind of general vague question: what makes you wake up in the morning? And for most of the time, they do give me kind of dazed and confused looks like, "What are you really asking us? Do you want some symbolic answer about Jesus right now?" It's like it's always they're looking for these next step questions that leads to them getting maybe a sticker, who knows. But they are looking, thinking that I'm looking for some predisposed answer. This one wasn't. Not like that at all. And then I asked them again. I was like, "Hold on. What makes you get up and want to participate in the world?" And again, general vague answers. Some of them even replied, "Oh, because my parents woke me up today." And I was like, "Really? That's what you're going to answer?" Or some of them like, "I got school," which is fine, which is great. But we kept picking and prodding at this, and I just kept asking, why? And we never got around to a good answer that I was looking for, something that was based off of them. Not an answer that I could pick off the street from just any old buddy, but actually something that resonated with them. We even looked through Instagram. I was like, "Look at this person. They just sang a video online. Why would they do that? Besides to get the likes and the views. But why would they do that?" We looked at photographers on Instagram. I was like, "Why would they take a picture of that?" And again, simple enough answer was, "Oh, get the likes, get the views." But it's so much more than that. For I think that we are always instilled with something from God, some kind of light, some kind of burning passion that makes us get up every morning and say with a smile, "I'm ready for the day." But the youth should know, it's never that idealistic. It's never that cut and dry. What they need to know is that even the people out here in front of them, I don't know who's actually here, I think Michaela's back there. Oh, they're all back there. That even the people in front of you, your parents, your teachers, your school officials, sure, why not? They wake up sometimes confused about their lives. They say, "Oh, wait, is this what I'm really meant to do day in and day out?" Sometimes, I mean, I definitely think of that, like, every so often. But you know who didn't think that way? Not a hint of doubt or despair. It was Joseph. And some of you may know of it as in the musical, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. That's how I knew it. I grew up singing those songs as well. But he also had a bunch of brothers. And he was also very apt at understanding God's message through his dreams. And even more so, he could interpret other people's dreams to hear the message of God within. But he goes to his brothers. And mind you, the brothers aren't really that fond of Joseph. He was always the favorite with Jacob, his father. He was even given that awesome coat. But he goes to his brothers anyways. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. And of course, Joseph, without even noticing that, says, "Listen to this dream," he said. "We were out in this field, tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before me. Can you imagine? If it sounded that arrogant to them, they responded, "So you think you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?" And of course, there was so much envy and hate towards him. And you think, okay, if you have a sibling or older brother, younger sister, anything, you tell them something like that, and they're annoyed at you, you kind of get a general, like, consensus about that. You're like, okay, I won't bother them. I won't. I will not. But Joseph, he's like, no, I have another great dream given by God. He says, listen, I have another dream. And the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed low before me. You think, yeah, that's right. There you go. If I have an older brother, and if I was annoying him, and I was telling him all this stuff, believe me, I'd be kicked out of his room. And certainly that's what they did. The brothers became fed up with that. And eventually, tossed into a well. Whoop! Just like that. Tossed into a well. Sold into slavery. And to cover their tracks, the brothers actually told their father, oh no, he died. Gave him back the tattered robe and was like, sorry. Sure, there were a couple brothers that had guilt. But by the time the deed happened, he was all gone. He was sold off to slavery. And was given to this Egyptian officer named Potiphar. And you think, oh man, okay. So this is his day. You're thinking, okay, well, just got thrown into a well, got my favorite robe taken away, and then got sold off to slavery. Are you kidding me? At that point, I'd be like, okay, I'm doing something wrong. Raise my hands up and be like, okay, I have no clue what's going on in life. Complete despair. But he never lost that faith. He was given two very important dreams. And he never let that go. He knew there was something, some driving purpose that God had in store with him. And of course, being part of being a slave and being sold off to Potiphar, the Lord was still with Joseph. So he succeeded in everything he did. And he served as a home, as the Egyptian master there. So he did gain favor. So even when you think that he's like, oh, well, I'm a slave now. It can't be great. God was with him. God showed his love. And of course, he flourished for a little bit there. He did. But then all of a sudden, there's that envy. When people see you succeed, they become envious. They start to think, is that really how it's supposed to be? And Potiphar's wife, she's like, this person in a position of power, I think I like him. And soon goes after Joseph. Well, Joseph wasn't all about that. He was a good man. Man of God. And he's like, no, I want nothing to do with you. That negativity, that sin that was in her, he was trying his best to refuse. But, of course, that's not how it goes for Joseph. Still going down the rabbit hole, even when you think it's okay. And he gets falsely accused for lusting after Potiphar's wife and ends up, guess where? In jail! And, of course, you think, well, I'm in jail now. So, first, I'm away from my home. My favorite robe taken away. I'm a slave. And then all of a sudden, now I'm in prison. Doesn't get much better, huh? No, it doesn't. But, for some reason, the Lord let him know that, hey, I'm still with you. And the Lord said, the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him his faithful love. And again, the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. And you're like, great, there's a silver lining in this. He's in prison, but he's the favorite, which is great. And actually, it leads him further into where God needs to take him. There are two servants of the Egyptian king that ended up in prison. Joseph had to decipher these two dreams. And the only thing he asked was that they remembered him. The only thing he asked, just wanted to remember that one day this might come back. And of course, a couple years pass. Everything goes well. The two people forget. But the Egyptian king has a dream. And it's pretty much all of their grains disintegrating and dissolving. All their cattle disintegrating and just dissolving. And he could not make it out. He was worried, tired, sick, and couldn't understand what was going on. Why was he having these dreams? So, luckily, one of the servants does remember. They call forth Joseph, and Joseph, without a doubt again, he's like, okay, I'm going to do what God wants me to do here. He interprets this king's dream. And in a result, they avoid a famine. They avoid catastrophe. Joseph ends up, again, flourishing, high and mighty, once again. And it's funny because everybody was pretty much, oh gosh, there's a famine. We need to go to the main place and get some food and rations. And guess who shows up right before Joseph? The brothers. The brothers show up. And they don't even know him. They're like, oh wait, they're all bowing. They're all bowing. And then they get their grains, they get that stuff. But Joseph, being humble, he's like, okay, guys, stand up. Look before yourselves. I am actually your brother. I am here. And it wasn't you. It wasn't you who sent me here, who sold me off to slavery, who threw me in a well. You might have catalyzed that, but it was not you. God, he acknowledges that God was there. He says, so now it was not you who sent me, but God. He has made me the father to Pharaoh and the lord of all his house and the ruler throughout the land of Egypt. If there's anything to take away there, God instilled in him this passion and drive, this purpose that leads him to go through all that turmoil and trouble without a hint of doubt or unfaithfulness. He stands true. I mean, we can look to a couple of things, like if we go back to Exodus and we think about Moses. That guy kept saying, are you sure? So you're saying if I throw this rod down, it's going to turn into a snake? But he was still constantly reminded in huge ways of burning bush, parting of the Red Seas, a huge way that God was always with him. Joseph looks back and is like, okay, I've been given two huge dreams. I'm going to do my best to fulfill them. And to be honest, if I was in his shoes, I would think something was going wrong. I am too much of a skeptic to realize that, to be honest. I am still learning my relationship with God and in my own faith. I am imperfect, and I'm certainly still willing to know more about my relationship. I would have loved a sign that said, hey, this is what you're supposed to do. This is God. Here you go. Hello? Direct call? Yeah? Great. God, that's what I'm supposed to do? That's not it all the time. Come on. I mean, really? But Joseph was lucky. But let's go back to that question I asked, right? I asked the youth, what wakes you up in the morning? And at their age, I definitely, one, wouldn't have been in Sunday school when that question was asked because I was not like them. Not as great. I will totally admit to that. It was not till later that I found all this out, and it was great. Church has always been in my life, for sure, but it was always in passing. So the kids, I always look to them, and they're always an inspiration to see them be in the classroom, to see them participate. It's always great. But I would have answered, I would have definitely said making music. If anything at that age, there was one thing I knew, one thing that made sense throughout all that stuff, it was making music. If it was making music at home, making music at the church I was at, or making music with my friends after school, and believe me, that got me in trouble a lot. I was raised in Virginia Beach. I was an East Coast guy, and I lived in a military town. So everything, cut and dry, very routine. Even the school I attended, it was an academy. And I don't know if anybody's heard of it, it's the International Baccalaureate Program. And it's a long, convoluted name for sure. But if you can imagine it, it's roughly advanced placement, but on steroids. It will literally suck your human being, your life source, out of you, because you've spent long hours studying. And from my point of view, all the kids ended up being like robots. Everybody was like competing for the like highest GPA. Who could be the valedictorian? Who could be like, you know, oh, the next big person to talk in front of everybody during, you know, their ceremony. And this school was chucking out things out of like 5.0s. Their GPAs were 5.0s. I knew kids that were taking internet classes, college internet classes, in their free time to get that one step ahead. And for me, I was never in that world of academics. It never really interested me. I knew I should get good grades, believe me. My parents told me I should get good grades. But to compete against somebody that's taking internet classes in the wee hours of the night, sorry, I want to sleep. But their kids are doing that. I even dated somebody that had 72 credits walking into college. 72 credits. They could have walked in as a junior, and I would still be a freshman, just like, oh, goodness, they got 2 years on me. I couldn't deal with that. That wasn't me. And, like, believe me, my teachers were so frustrated with me. They're like, why are you getting these low grades? I even got a 10% once on a major test. I just didn't know it. So I looked at that page blankly, and I was like, well, I could pray now, but I don't even think a miracle would make this happen. Looking at that. And that's all because I focused on one thing that made me truly happy and made me truly believe that every day waking up was amazing, and it was to make that music. And I looked forward to band class, got to play my saxophone. That was always exciting. And I always looked forward to my afternoon time hanging out with my friend who had the same exact kind of thing. All he wanted to do was make music. And so we'd go to his house, and we'd stay there for afternoons after afternoon, just recording songs, fiddling with microphones, and just doing that because we knew nothing else made sense in our lives. The numbers that started validating our friends in high school wasn't the same for us. And of course, our friends looked at us crazily. They're like, you know, we have a major test. Why aren't you studying? And we're like, I got my guitar. I'll see you over here. And that's what it was. And the more and more that I started delving into my relationship with music, the more and more people started seeing that passion for it. My biology teacher would actually allow me to play my guitar before and after class. She actually helped me get into the school that I got into. She's like, oh, you need this audition piece? I was like, I forgot to copy it. I need to send copies everywhere to these schools and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, she's like, calm down, calm down. We can go make copies. Don't worry about it. And that was great to see that these teachers, even though they were supporting these kids that were making 5.0 GPAs, they were still interested. They're still interested in helping me fulfill my dream. And of course, where does that wind me up now? It gave me a lot of support and honestly trust in people and faith in people that as long as you do and be genuine to yourself, they'll help you out, 100%. And I went to my dream school, Berklee College of Music, so happy. I don't think I had any better opportunity. I went to my friends' universities, colleges, and I was like, I'm not supposed to be here. I knew when I walked through the doors of that school, I was like, everybody was playing music. Everybody wanted to write new songs, learn their instrument, play random notes everywhere, and you'd be like, what in the world? But it was beautiful nonetheless. And that joy, that passion, I took that back home almost every summer. And I wrote my own songs and I wrote covers, but what really brought me joy was helping the kids that were so lost in it all with school, doing good grades, and most of all, their parents' expectations for them to get a steady job after college. I took what I knew, brought it back to them, and I was like, hey, this afternoon, don't think about anything else. We're gonna make this song. And a lot of them responded, and a lot of them opened up that way. I didn't understand it then, but my passion for music and my creativity that God had instilled in me ended up helping me connect with more people than I could realize, than I could even fathom. In high school, I was like, cool, I can sing in front of you. You like me? Great. I want to do that as a career. That's all I want. Write songs. Be a rock star. Stand in front of thousands of people and have them applaud for me. Now I know it's not a bad dream. Some people might be like, it could still happen. But I was pulled in another direction. My music director definitely said to me, she was like, hey, I think you need to help the high school youth band at my church. And I was like, why? I haven't ever taught in my entire life. Why would I help these kids? And she's like, you might be the one to listen to them. I was like, okay. So I did. And that was one of the worst bands I've ever heard in my entire life. They were singing, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free. And I was like, that sounded nothing like that. But what was great about that experience, those high schoolers, I mean, I wasn't much older than them, maybe 5 years or so. But they helped me understand again why I was there. The music helped me connect with them in a different way that words could not. And I was overjoyed to find out why they mattered. And I think that matters, honestly, with kids these days. I think they're overwhelmed by all of the social media happening now. They want likes. They want to see what's coming up next with who they're following. They would sit on their bed. This is probably why they couldn't answer me, why they get up in the morning, because honestly, they're probably not up. They're probably like this horizontal, looking at their phone, watching YouTube videos. But I think that people kept telling me, you're really good with the youth. Like, what are you doing? And I could only think, what are they talking about? I'm just hanging out with these guys and just talking to them as if they're just normal people. Like, they're not any different from me despite the age. They're going through things, maybe even worse things than me. But they've always responded to being seen that they're not alone and seeing that they matter. And to see that their ideas and passions aren't crazy and shot down by their school officials, by their own parents. I've seen too many people, even my own friends, that call me at night crying because they chose a profession because their parents told them it was the right thing to do. And I'm sorry. No amount of money that you have, if you're calling me crying at night, does not equate to that. For me, at least. What am I to say, though? I'm only 27, going 28. But it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to see people like that cry, people that you care about. I mean, if you ask me now, why do you wake up in the morning? I teach a preschool, and I love that job. Does it pay me in peanuts? Yes, that's fine. I'll eat those peanuts, even though I'm allergic. But I love that job. I think every morning I wake up, I grab my little guitar, go in my car, and I sit down in front of them, and I sing ABCs, 1, 2, 3s. And you know what? Some of the kids are crying because their parents just left. Some of them might be having a rough day. They don't even know why. They're just crying. But once you put a shaker in their hands, once you start singing, all that kind of disappears. And they start laughing and enjoying learning. That's why I'll wake up. The other reason I'll wake up, if I have a nap in the afternoon, I have to come here and work. But there is always that drive. I get to see Nikayla. I get to see Ashley. And I don't know what they've been through. I don't know what their day has been like. But I hope coming here that I'm creating an atmosphere where, one, they get to grow spiritually. But two, most importantly, is that they are seen. Because being a number at a school sucks. Being just that nobody at school sucks. It does. But here, I hope they get seen. I want them to know that their spirituality matters to me and their ideas matter to me. So am I kind of sad that my question kind of made me go in a different direction nowadays? No, I'm not. I can wake up smiling every morning. That's for certain. And with the turn of the new year, can you ask yourselves that? What gets you up in the morning? I thought I had a mic. Anybody see that mic? I actually want to go around and ask people that question right now. Oh, yeah. Believe me, this is what happens to the youth. I ask them any old random question. But I want a response, for sure. But this is what you can do during the new year. People constantly look to better themselves physically. You see on Instagram again, somebody's lifting weights. They're like, yeah, look at me, look at me. Or somebody's showing their food, like this awesome salad, and you're like, great, where's the brown food? Where's my fried chicken? That's all I can say about that. But we forget that our soul needs renewing as well. We forget that what drives our light inside of us that God has instilled in us needs to be fed too. We need to be able to wake up every morning and smile. Not every day, maybe not, but try most of the days. I'm going to ask around. So, Greg, what wakes you up in the morning?
Well, aside from the alarm clock, what wakes me up, and I've been doing this for decades, mm-hmm. is I do my devotions before the Lord.
Yes.
It deals with singing and with scripture mm-hmm. and with my prayers. And no matter how poor my attitude may be when I wake up, mm-hmm. you know how easy it is to say, what have I got to do today? You know, I'm retired now, so I get to ask that question. What am I getting out of bed for?
Yeah.
And I may be clueless and not have a sense of my purpose for the day, but I come out of my devotions and I know what I want to do, and I got a big old smile on my face. You know, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And I have found that is the best way for me to delight myself in the Lord, is get up in the morning and do my devotions.
That's right. Center around God. Center around those blessings I've put before you. Yeah? He's like, oh gosh. What wakes you up in the morning? You can give me an honest answer. Does it
matter? Yeah. I'd say the want to succeed for God, like what His plans are for me. Whether I know all of that or not, it's just the desire to do what He wants, or however it's furthering my walk with Him.
That's fantastic. Whew. That's a good answer. Anybody else want to share one? Anybody? Or is like, oh gosh, no. I don't know who you are, but can you give it a go? Yeah. It's fine. Believe me. You can't give me the answers that the youth gave me that morning. Believe me, you're fine. You're fine.
Honestly, my family is really what gets me up in the morning.
Wait. Because they're like trying to get you the jaws of life to like do something today. Like that?
Maybe when I was younger.
Oh, okay.
Maybe when I was younger, it was a lot harder for me to get up, and it'd be my mom coming in saying, you gotta do something, you gotta get up. But it's really just doing something for them, and I know if I'm productive and if I'm improving the lives around me, it's doing something for Him as well as for them.
Awesome. And see, it all centers around that again. It's this driving purpose, this thing that we can't give up. And in this coming new year, I think a good way to start seeing what gets us up in the morning is to truly count our blessings before us. Sometimes our days are too busy for that. And admittedly, mine is too. But if we really sit down and do our devotionals, pray, meditate before God, you will see those blessings. And that would actually maybe carve a way for you. Carve your path into finding that light if you've lost it. Or even so, ask somebody that you know this year. Ask them what gets them up in the morning. If they can't give you an answer, help them out. Pray with them. Or just talk. Have a good conversation. Because you'd be surprised if you start communicating face to face, what values you'll find, what beliefs you'll find, and whatever God has put with inside you. But yeah, so we are going to move actually to those joys and concerns, those blessings that we find in each life.